HXS, KN4BWA.
Receive. DJC, AJ4RA. Good afternoon. Yeah, hope you're doing good today. Is that KJ4RA? Is that Romeo India? Is that correct?
Alpha Julia 4, Romeo Alpha. And the name here is Bill, Mobile in Simpsonville.
RA, I got it right that time. Name is Jerry, I'm in Anderson today. Hope you have a good afternoon.
Doing a few errands around this afternoon, between the rain showers. I guess got a little bit more coming, over.
No rain here. We haven't had any in probably a couple of weeks now, I guess, week and a half. It just bypasses us. As I've said many times, I guess it splits where I am here. I'm right here on 85, almost at exit 19. It goes to the north of us and goes to the south of us.
Actually, where I live, I resemble that remark. I often tell people I live in Dry Gulch, but we did get a little bit of showers last night for the first time in forever, and I think the forecast is calling for more rain later tonight or tomorrow. I'm not sure. AJ4RA mobile.
I need it. Hopefully, we'll get some later on this evening. Sure need it. I'd like to get another decent rain or two between now and the time we got to stop cutting grass. It perked up after we got a good rainfall a couple of weeks ago. It perked up pretty well there, and it was doing okay, but now we don't water our grass. It's not crispy yet, but if we don't get some soon, it will be, I'm sure.
The lawns and the shrub gardens and even just a wild natural growth needs to have a little bit of water sometime. I do irrigate my property in the finished location, so it avoided the dry oats and burn-ups, but nothing seems to do nearly as well as old Mother Nature's rain over.
It has a bit more nitrogen in it. Certainly better than chlorinated waters, I'm sure. Seems to, we got mostly centipedes. We took a little bit of fescue, got a little bit of Bermuda here and there. We're trying to put some Bermuda side down every once in a while to try to get it to spread. It just didn't take as much rain. We're kind of on the edge, so we're definitely a little far south for fescue unless you got a lot of rain. And centipede, we're just about on the cusp of that, too. We're right on the edge. If you got plenty of water, centipede looks great, but Bermuda takes a lot less.
And with that, the previous place that I lived in, about 5 miles from where my house is now, we had a centipede lawn when I bought the property, and after a couple of years, a lot of it died off, and I redid it. And that got me another 2 or 3 years, and finally I decided, you know what, this is just a losing battle. I need to put something else in here. We're just too far north for the centipede.
I get my core aerated sometime this spring, hoping. I've got one guy I think may be able to do it, but it's hard to find somebody to do it. I'm not able to get out there and do it myself. After the soil's been out there for years and got the grass out there and everything kind of clumps together and it makes the yard uneven, and it needs to be core aerated about every 3 years or so, and maybe I'll put a little top coat on it when I do that, but finding somebody to do it is kind of problematic now, because a lot of people just want to run the spikes over, and that's not what I want. I want the core aeration done so it pulls the plugs out of the soil.
Well, I have arrived at my destination here, and I'm a little bit in a shadow here. I'm not sure. Things got a little bit noisy on the VHF in the last part of that transmission with you, so I'm not sure if I'm making it out back to you or not, but it's nice to meet you here this afternoon, and ride along with you for a little bit. Hope you have a great day, and I look forward to getting a chance to say hello down the log, as they say. So all the best to you, 73. AJ4RA, and I will be clear on your final.
I've got a little noise getting into the machine. I'm only running 10 watts. You sound fine, though. Anyway, have a good afternoon, and send some of that rain my way. In for DJC, clear.
Good day to the other gentleman. You're full quiet in here, Jerry, up in Greer. Yes, in 0TR.
I tried to give you a call a bit early this morning. I must have just missed you. I think you were... can't remember who you were talking to now. Anyway, you must have ducked out. You were... whether you were going somewhere or not, did you find your rocks yesterday, or were you... was that an unsuccessful mission?
Something just shook my head a little bit, and Bernice said there was plenty of them, fell out.
We're talking about, we're not talking about nuts and bolts now, we're talking about rocks.
She's over there laughing at me, Jerry. I went up on Locust Hill, is that it? Locust Hill Road, to a place called Stags, and really wonderful people there. And the same amount of rocks was a good deal cheaper, and they didn't have any down here on Highway 14, and they wanted $160, and I got them up there for $130, and they give me a military discount, so that saved me a few bucks. And they're really nice folks, and Bernice and I we went up there and just walked around there when I was talking to you. But they had exactly what we wanted, 3/4 to 1.5 inch rocks, and saved a good amount of money, too, by golly. And then we brought them home, and I was helping unload them there. Bernice and I was unloading them. And I had to go up and move the car because I knew the granddaughter was coming home from horse riding. And so the two neighbors, they saw that Bernice was out there shoveling them rocks by herself. And it only took me 5 minutes to move the car around at the most. And they both come over there and grabbed the shovel and started helping out.
Tom, you're old enough to remember the old Pippa McGee and Molly radio show, probably, but you remember that's where the term "your hard man McGee" came from. Leaving her out there, letting her shovel, taking a shovel to, then getting the neighbors to help, that's pretty shrewd of you.
I didn't even plan on it. Kathy come over, and Veronica come over. Kathy's stocky like Bernice, and Veronica's a little skinny thing. And I had to break the shovel away from Veronica almost. And Kathy and Bernice outworked me 10-1. I can't lift a whole lot, Jerry, but I still helped. But that worked out okay. Next time I'll just leave her out there till I draw some attention. What do you think?
Worked once, it might work again. But, you say that what size was it, about 2 inches or so, something like that?
Well, 3/4 to 1.5, but I think it was a little bigger than that, don't you, Mom? Yeah, it seemed a little bigger than that. It's a nice, voiced, rounded rock, sort of like river rock, you know. We was very happy with it. And I got a trailer load full in my little two-wheel trailer, Jerry.
TRN4DJC. How deep do you lay those out? I've got one spot in the backyard here where I need to kind of fill in. I'm not real sure if I want to go that size or maybe a size or two up. And my inclination is to go with about 2 inches or so, maybe something like that, so it stays nice and smooth. It has to be about maybe a foot deep. And I was thinking about putting some of that underlayer stuff up under it to keep weeds from growing up in it, but I'm not sure if that's the right way to go about it or not. I won't mind, like, flush, almost flush on the top. I don't need to. This is kind of filling in a swale with a rain gauge. That way it doesn't wash much now, but you know, it may help with that washing to slow the rain down a little bit, too.
You just brought me some cheese and crackers, so you have to excuse me. and some minted sweet pickles there with some club crackers. And Jerry, when we moved here, all that out back was timber. I mean, dense timber. So I cleared it all off and had it cleared off some, and I took out 13 trees, I think it was, and maybe more than that. And now it tends to wash out down there pretty good. It's a sandy soil. But up there around the chicken pen and that, I wanted to be able to drive the truck out on it or walk out on it without walking out in the wet grass every time to go to the chicken pen. I don't know. There's probably 20 feet out there that we got rock in it now. And it just works great. I'll send you a picture of it a little later when I walk out there. Works great for us, and it keeps the erosion down. And I just sprayed it with Roundup before I throwed it down. So I haven't had a great deal of grass problem either.
See how that looks, Tom, because it's not, what we're talking about, it's not going to be very, very wide. It may be, maybe 2 feet wide. It's the widest, but I just need to, yeah, because he's right now, the guy that cuts grass here, I get, kind of get in there with a weed eater. And if I could, you know, get it where it wouldn't, we wouldn't have to do it. It'd just be just enough where you can run over with a mower without, you know, tearing up his blades or catching the end of it or something like that. I may think about that. But, so you're using that rather than like using a, for, you know, for bare spots where you're going to drive on rather than run, use like a crusher run, you know, gravel or something like that. I can't, that crusher run, I can't stand that stuff. I tell you, that stuff, these tires, that stuff will cut a tire if you're not careful, too.
Yeah, I like this. It really worked out nice, Jerry. I took a picture through the window here. You got to realize it's not as sharp, and it don't show the chicken pen. Chicken pen will be off to the left, but I'll send it to you here in just a second.
Take your time. I'm upstairs. Don't have my phone with me anyway, but I would like to see how it looks. I got a good idea. I got a good picture in my mind of what you're talking about now. But the guy that did the landscaping where Duke Power came over here and trenched the yard to put the power line, power line to the new house over here. They had a guy come in. He was like a landscaper. I mean, he did a really good job. He just threw grass up there and put his side back out or anything like that. But he does that sort of thing. I just don't know whether I can get him to do it or not. But he told me, he said, yeah, he looked at it. He said, yeah, that river rock would be a good, that'd be a good, put some river rock there. And he even suggested maybe putting something up in the front of it. We don't have a, since we don't have a sewage system here, don't have curbs or anything like that. It's just a ditch out the front. Thought several times about filling it in, but you know, I'd have to get 24-foot of concrete pipe left, and they don't tell me what it costs to do that. So I may put some of that same stuff up in front, just let him weed eat. I mean, let him round up it rather than trying to you know, weed eat down in it, and that make it help the erosion and anything to slow the runoff down too. And I would say that rocks and stuff like that will do it. And I even thought about terrace in the yard at one time, but I think if I put something up like those pavers or something like that, and not pavers, but you know, something to hit the stair steps, I think it probably cost more money than I want to spend on it.
Rocks. Heck, my childhood was spent out in the Osho River on river rocks swimming. back in the old days. But they're nice, and they're not dusty, and they're not sharp. I like them real well, Jerry. Well, I'll get you a closer picture when I go out there and check eggs after a while. I just shot that one through the window, and I sent it to you. You'll see some lighter area in the center. As we pulled in, Bernice says, I want to thicken that up a little bit, so there's some newer rocks there on top of the older rocks, which old, out in the middle is why it's kind of whitish looking out there in the middle, but it's the same rock. But, that little trailer is handy as pockets on a shirt, I'll tell you. It's a Model T Ford truck, and it won't quite take a 4x8 sheet of plywood, but you can cock it up sideways just a little bit, and it will take it. I should have paid more attention to it last time we redone it, but I don't know why. I guess I didn't consider the thickness of the sides or something.
Little deal, I don't have one. My son's got a hitch on his truck. He could pull up at the guy that does my lawn. I think he would probably, I don't know how much we'd have to have, but I think he would probably put it on his trailer when he came, and we could, you know, shovel it off. But I'll have to do some thinking about what size, and, you know, because once that stuff down, it's hard to get it back up again, too, so I may have to think about it before I do it. And maybe get some advice from a landscape guy about which way to go with it. I'd like to put another swale in and on the side over here, but I don't have a lot of room to do it with, and I'm not sure, you know, trying to make it easier to cut rather than harder, more difficult to cut grass, and I don't know if that make it worse or not. I'm just going to have to do some thinking about it, and like I said, maybe get a landscape, you know, real pro to kind of give me some ideas about what to do in the backyard. It's okay now, but when it rains a lot, it's like a river coming through the backyard. We got, you know, enough grass now. We didn't wash the grass or anything like that, but it's just, you know, it's just not a good, there's no place for it to go, although the house next door now has got, you know, it's helped some because they're taking all those trees down, so it actually diverts it down straight down the property line almost on their side into the ditch and down to where their little, you know, cover pipe is for their driveway.
Yeah, I'm glad we got that, and I'm glad we got that little trailer. We brought it down here from Kansas. My neighbor always said, Tom, if you want to build something, you build it to last 100 years. And they used to haul castings 125 miles up to Kansas City and back, aluminum castings for heat transfer machines that they manufactured. And they used that for several years before they ever got them a commercial size thing. And Merle finally sold it to me, and we had to redo the wood on it, and I put a different hitch on it because he had I think it was 2 5/8 ball or something like that. It was huge. But like I said, he built things to last. And the tubing that goes back through the center of it looks like about 2.5-inch rigid pipe. Boy, I was in Home Depot yesterday picking up some Stakons terminals, and I got to looking at the price of Romex, Jerry. You wouldn't believe it. $160 for 250 foot of 12-2 with ground, which used to be, what, $59 to $69, something like that. Half-inch thin wall was, I think, about $7.98 a joint. The number 10, a roll of that, like you used to run for example, a one-day air conditioner or something like that, a big one, $289 for a roll of wire. Holy Toledo. I'm glad I'm out of that business now.
TRM4DJC Friday. Oh, we know the, when they built this house next door to me, when they were plumbing it, I was asking one of the plumbing guys over there, you know, what they were doing for plumbing. They're using that PEX pipe now for all plumbing, for most all of it. Is the copper just got so expensive, and he said even then, he said it will develop pinholes over the lifetime of it. Of course, I'd heard that from years past. It's been on the water, I guess, but he said it was just, you know, it's the copper, unless you use it for fittings and around water heaters and stuff like that. He said they just didn't use it anymore. And he said, because they can just lay it out. They don't have to worry about sweating the fittings and that sort of thing. But just, I don't know, something about that stuff just didn't seem right to me. It sounds like it's okay, but whenever you start mentioning some type of synthetic piping rather than copper, it just kind of gives me a little bit of a shudder.
This is in 0TR with N4DJC. Roger on that. We had a new water line run from out at the meter into the house, and a different hose bib put on the side of the house there. And you know, Jerry, that old boy told me that was running that, and they only buried it a foot deep. Gosh, up in Kansas, we buried it 3 foot. But he replaced that copper, and it had a big old crimp in it where it went up to the house. And so I'm glad we got it done. But he said that PEX can expand as much as 5 times its diameter before it bursts, Jerry. Can't knock that.
Most of the time they run, I know this house, and the one next door, they've got, you know, some type of synthetic piping running from the water meter to the house. At least I think they do. I know they did the one next door. And the guy that put in my last water heater told me, he said, yeah, PEX works good for them. He said, you gotta get the right grade of it. He said, I make multiple grades of it, and certain things that you can't use it for, you still gotta use copper. But the difference between putting all copper in and using a PEX and copper hybrid type of plumbing was like $400. And I could not believe that. He said, yeah, he said, the copper is expensive. He said, we can sweat it. He said, I like sweating pipes. He said, but you got a lot of waste. And he said, and this stuff is, you know, it's not that expensive. And he said, it'll last as long as the copper will, and it won't, you know, it shouldn't have been unless you expose it to UV light. He said, you shouldn't have any problems with it leaking unless somebody just cuts it or, you know, runs into it or does something silly like that with it, which kind of surprised me coming from a plumber, because you know, those guys, the plumbers, they love to charge big money for what they do.
That was about $4,000 worth up front there. And they didn't have a tool to drill under the sidewalk, and they forgot to bring their pressure washer. This is Waldrop Plumbing and Heating, by the way. And they, so I went out back and got my pressure washer, and they dug it with that. They were real nice young men, and they did a good job. But that wasn't for all of that. They installed a toilet stool that I had to throw away about a month later. But at any rate, the PEX and the job they did there and on that faucet was just great. And I liked it. I'd rather have been a little deeper, because I seen it get down to 12 degrees here one time. But I guess if it can expand to 5 times its diameter, there's not much worry about it freezing up, Jerry.
Ours is probably not more than a foot deep, maybe. I don't know. And the water guy that came down here when he was installing the water meter to the house next door, I asked him about it. He said, well, I don't like people running up my water line with these big trucks. And he says, as long as it's been sitting in there, he said, you know, it may break from somebody else. He says, you're not going to crush it. If it's a foot deep, you're not going to crush it with a truck. He says, it's probably, unless it's real soft soil, but yeah, I still don't let people drive in with a car or something, you know, wreck a pickup. But deep power, something like that comes in, I make them go around the other side. And the only problem is I got my water line on one side, and I got my safety tank on the other side. It's real hard to get into here. And the neighbors here, when they, you know, they kind of, they infringed on the, not right away, but you know, the easement for the utilities, instead of 7.5 feet, they got stuff like this. It's sitting on some of them, they got a building that they have one of these portable buildings, you know, the storage they got sitting on my line or across my line. Can't get them to move it. I probably have to sue them to get them to do it, and they ain't worth that. But they don't pay any attention to stuff. They, We try not to put anything permanent down, you know, close to within 7.5 feet, because the utilities come in there and they say, well, if it's there, so we ain't going to trash around it. You got to tear it down.
Jerry, twice in my life, I've seen copper do that. You're talking about those pinholes. They're not as big as a pinhole, even. And we had one do that in the basement. And I put one of those clamps on it, and it fixed it. And I had a plumber look at it, and he said, Tom, I wouldn't mess with it. He said, I'd just leave it like it is. It's just, you done a good job. And so I let that go. In the old days, I'd have tried it myself, but it's sweat joint, and I haven't done a great deal of that, very little. But my dad had a guy build a family room up in Kansas, and it must not have been 4 or 5 years, Jerry. And I noticed the floor was buckling. I went under the house, and it's just a real, real extremely fine mist. If you don't get right up to it, you don't even notice it. The holes are so small, and that's how it begins to fail. But one fella told me that there was more than one grade of that copper tubing. Now, I can't vouch for that. I don't know if that's the truth or not. But apparently this was a cheap one.
Fortunately, when my parents' house, they built it in 46. And sometime in the 80s, I guess, my dad was still living, they had iron pipes up on the house and had them redone. Of course, they did them with that, you know, that butylene pipe, that blue pipe stuff. And before my mother passed away, I'm over there. I got up there. We had a little crawl space, but you could stand up in part of the basement. And I saw one of those spray, and I looked up there, and that thing just covered with that pipe. And I got a plumber in there. He said, well, he said, you know, this stuff will fail. It's going to fail at the joint. He said, luckily, we can fix it. And I asked him, I said, would you want to replumb it? He said, no. He said, I'd leave it as it is. He said, because, you know, when it fails, usually it's all going to fail at the same time. And he said, there's no need to do that. But, you know, I can't imagine the number of houses that had that stuff. You know, for years, you could get them to, you know, they had a class action lawsuit. You can get them to replumb the house for you. But that time had already come and gone by the time we found that. And I checked mine. I don't have any in this house. I take it back. I got one spot that goes from just goes to a faucet. It's just one of these flexible hoses, and I change those flexible hoses out to the stainless type. And that was the only stuff we had in the house that I know of. When we were watching it when they were building, and I didn't see anything else in it. And I got a guy that looks up under my house every year. Yeah, from my termite inspection, he checks all that stuff out for me. So far, knock on wood, we haven't had any trouble with it. But, you know, you never know. Those pinhole leaks can develop any time, and they are hard to detect until they've done a lot of damage.
If anyone wants to use the computer, just jump in there. This is Gerald T.R. Jerry, in Kansas, all my life, we used galvanized pipe for water. And we use black pipe for gas. And I still got the hand threaders and that for, I think up to 1 inch. And got the pipe cutters and all of that stuff. But they don't use it anymore, thankfully. So I'm kind of glad they come out with something like that, Tex. It's a good idea, but I even got the tripod with the pipe vise, which is made out of about 10-inch channel iron, and the pipe vise is sitting on top of it, and you screw three legs in it that are probably 1-inch pipe. You ought to try to lift that sucker and get it in position so you can thread a pipe. It's hernia time.
Those things are humongous and weigh a ton. It takes two people to move some of the ones we used years ago. We were doing some work in one of the plants, and one of the guys, about moving this thing. I said, shoot, I can't move that thing. It must weigh 400 pounds. They were threading. It was about, looked like about 2-inch time or thick wall of some type or another. I mean, you could barely, I think it had either 10 or 12 foot section. Ain't no telling what that stuff weighed. But the guys doing the plumbing of your time told me, too, that using the pegs, he said, they don't have to worry about people coming in and trying to vandalize the house to get the copper out. He said, we'll leave the pegs sitting out there so they can see there's no copper in case somebody decides to come in and, you know, try to steal anything. But, because you just don't, people just say, you can use it, but good Lord, I mean, it's, he told me, he said, it was like, gosh, I don't know how much more expensive, and he said, the labor is substantially less, too, because you can just cut it with a standard cutter, and it's got, you know, joints are pretty easy to seal up, evidently. It didn't take them no time at all to plumb that house with it. They didn't have to, you know, didn't have to get everything square and straight, you know, when you were plumbing it and wiggling around in there. And I've heard of people using that same stuff to, not the same rate they use for regular plumbing, but something similar to that, where people have got this in-floor, you know, passive heat, I guess you call it, you know, where they run hot water through the pipes up under the floor.
Boss, they actually ran cow rods in the ceiling, I think it was, Jerry, and he had troubles with it. Now, why would you put the heating elements up there? I'm pretty sure it was in the ceiling. Could have been the floor. But they were caloric rods, you know, and he had trouble with that, and they just have to tear something out. That's kind of what I think about this HVAC stuff, where they bury it out in the yard, you know. It's a real good deal, but boy, if something ever fails, you know, you'd be in an expensive lot of trouble. Shouldn't fail, but shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't. You just never know about that stuff.
Better since we got our heat pump out of here, you can put in a regular AC and a gas furnace. I'm sure I'm going to pay the price this next year when gas goes up. But, yeah, like Rusty always says, it is what it is. But having those heat strips on, and you know, just never did. We're just about to, if it had been a little further south, maybe it would have been okay if I'd had a dual fuel system. Just switched over to gas, which is what I started to get initially. But he said it's much simpler to put it in. It was several $1,000 cheaper to put in what I got now rather than even what it cost me to do the downstairs 15 years ago. So, you know, all that stuff's gone up. So, but it keeps us warm in the wintertime. When it blows warm air, it only blows it at 140 degrees. It don't blow it at 80 or 90 or whatever it does.
Yeah, Jerry, the heat pump, when it got down to about 12 degrees here, was working pretty hard. I'm sure it was switched over to emergency heat. I don't really remember now. That's been, 10 years ago or so. And it didn't stay that way long. But you're correct. The gas, to me, feels warmer because the heat pump's absorbing the heat out of the air outside, and it just don't impress me that much, but it works for our house. It's pretty well insulated. That's the first thing I did is I got insulation blowed in the ceiling. And the walls, well, that's just what it is. It's a house that was built in the 80s, the late 80s. And so you've got basically an R11 or whatever it is in the walls. But we are under our level payment plan every month now for some reason. And I really like that idea. It runs, I think the last one was, $169? Yeah, $169, and that's total electric. But I was talking to an HVAC guy, and he said you could spend $10,000 or $12,000 on a new heat pump system nowadays, especially if you go up to a R16 or something, or an R18. up in that area.
Yeah, it was an R-16, and actually what I replaced it with is an R-16. And the air conditioner, but then the other one, I had a variable speed air handler, which, you know, that helped a lot during the summertime. It helps keep some humidity out, but it runs longer. And it would run and run and run and run and run, and it'd get down to, if I'd have it set on 72, it'd run down to 74 degrees or so before it would shut off. It just freezes in the summertime. But it would do that in the wintertime. It struggled to maintain 72, which would keep our house warmer than most. Really struggled to maintain 72. And he said, you know, if you don't mind 68 degrees, he said, they weren't perfect. We tried to get any higher than that. He said, you wind up being cheaper going with gas. And gas was cheaper this year. And like you said, my heating bill for this month is, based on what Duke sent me, mine's going to be $43 cheaper than it was this time last year, which is, yeah, that sounded pretty good to me.
Well, up in Kansas, and that's been 13 years ago, in the wintertime, it'd get up over $300 for gas, and then the electric was another $100, Jerry, and it just really strained our pocketbook a bunch. But it's never been that down here. We really appreciate Duke Energy. People say what they want, but and they all raise their prices. They got to look at how much difference in fuel they're spending on their vehicles, for example.
They still got gas fired too, and still running some. You know, they're gonna get out of coal business eventually, I guess. But they got some expenses. Since it's covered under the Public Service Commission here, you got a little bit of a safety factor like in Georgia, it's been quite a few years ago now, they deregulated the gas prices, and people were getting, one of the guys I knew that had chicken houses, you know, to in order to keep his chickens warm in the wintertime, they used natural gas, they couldn't use, you know, electric heat, because it was really expensive. When they deregulated, his normal bill per month went up $5,000 or $6,000, I think, something like that. It's crazy, because they could just charge whether they wanted to. They didn't have to answer the Public Service Commission, anybody else. Well, it didn't take them but about a year or so of that. They went back and put them back under, started regulating them again, and things got back to where they're supposed to be.
Jerry, well, you know, The gas heat is so much safer now with their fail safes on them and that. And I've worked on things, infrared gas heaters. I've worked on forced air gas heaters up to 249,000 BTUs. I've worked on a stress oven that was 13 million BTUs. And that was scary, but managed to keep it in one piece. But the efficiency that they get out of them now is really great. They actually take so much heat out of the gas that you have to have a condensation drain. Some of them even have to have some kind of an EPA filter on them before the water goes out. They've come a long way, and it's been that way for ever since the old pulse heater Lennox came out with years ago.
Upstairs unit, it's the same size upstairs unit as my downstairs unit, is a 92% efficient furnace, and it's got to have the condensate pipe, and it has a pump that operates too, you know, to get the condensate out of it, because it's really efficient compared to the one I got upstairs. It doesn't have to run as much, because it's just, yes, upstairs it's always warmer up here, and the backside of the house has got full sunlight after about lunchtime. It just stays warmer up here than it does downstairs. But I said, that thing, you know, they were adding one more pipe to it. I said, what's that? He said, that's for your condensate. He said, yeah, you're going to have some moisture coming out of the heat. I said, really? He said, it's so efficient, it actually, you know, has to get some water out of it. I said, well, I didn't know that. But it's interesting, because that was something I wasn't familiar with at all. Because the other one was probably about 80% or something like that, I guess.
they got a condensate drain on it. And, you know, we had one of the first ones back in those days, and I had it installed. And this guy, I don't know, I'm not too high on him. But at any rate, I went to school with him at in college in HVAC. And so I hired him. And it was quite a few years later. First thing that happened was I went in the attic and seen how he spliced in to a wire size that was too small to run the blower motor and that. And every time it come on, the lights would dim. So I fixed that. Well, then once a year, you had to take a cover off, maybe a 2-inch diameter cover and one or two screws, and run a garden hose in there into the tertiary chamber, which is the secondary chamber. There's two chambers on those high efficiency ones, at least there used to be. And you'd run that water hose in there and rinse that out. And, you know, we was talking about those teeny tiny holes in the copper tubing. Well, that's what that tertiary chamber had in it. And it was stainless steel. And the water come out of it like a sieve. So, therefore, we were getting carbon monoxide into the house. So, I found out how to order the tertiary chamber. And I'm telling you, I cut myself to pieces because it's real thin stainless steel. Getting it in there, and it was in a very tight place in the front room, in back into a closet. And I got it changed out, but we didn't have carbon monoxide checkers back then. I had built a gas detector. But it hadn't went off yet, so I don't know why. Maybe I didn't have it in the right position. I built it myself. But you didn't see commonly carbon monoxide checkers back then like you do now, built in with the fire detectors and smoke detectors. So at any rate, I learned a hard-learned lesson there, Jerry. That could have killed us.
Jerry and 4DJC. Well, they had replaced my hot water heater. They put one new one in, and it was, at first they thought it was just the control. They had to replace control, and it was still, I could still smell gas. And then they did another one, and they finally, Fort Hill finally just replaced it, gave me a new replacement. But that guy came out here, one of the sniffers, and then one head, he said, I think he told me it was about 10 grand or so. He had one of these super duper ones. He said it could detect it, just a part per million or something like that. That thing went nuts around that. Well, that thing was, if I had decided maybe they had, somebody had dented the water heater, the gas water heater at some point in time, might have damaged on the inside. So they replaced it. And while he was here, I got him to check, the gas. Yeah, I got him check upstairs here and on the outside. He didn't detect anything then. But out of time, getting them, the guy to put it in did a good job. He couldn't figure out what it was, and they finally did it, and he had installed it the second time. He didn't like that, and kind of grumbled about it. And I said, well, I knew good and well, I needed the guy. I talked to the guy at Fort Hill. He said, well, I can assure you he got compensated for replacing it. I said, I figured he did. But it was a good job. Just the thing was bad when it got out there. And I kept smelling, and called him down there once. He said, fixed it, and called him back again. I said, this thing still ain't right. They came back down there, and the guy came right back, and he said, this thing ain't working right. So he called one of the main guys at Fort Hill. He said, we need another water heater down there. He said, I want them to get it in today or tomorrow, one of those, so these folks have some hot water. And, man, I tell you one thing, whoever he talked to at Fort Hill, Tom, he must have got over the right people, because that guy sent his crew back over here, and they wanted it that afternoon. And it didn't take them long, because it was just a swap out. And then the guy came back and checked it again, just been on the safe side since it was on the weekend, and it was fine. But, that stuff they got now is so sophisticated, they can detect monoxide or leakage to that. If you can't smell it, he'll detect it.
No, carbon monoxide, you're not going to smell. However, the gas, they put that stinky stuff in them. I forget the name of it now. And you can definitely smell that. But for liability purposes alone, I bet the factory got him on the stick. Because I know we had a black pipe that leaked into the house one time. And I was at work. And I thought I'd smelled gas out in the driveway between the two houses there. But it would be there, and then it wasn't. And I guess the gas man was reading the meter one day, and he knocked on the door, and Bernice answered the door. And like I said, I was at work, and I asked him what he said, and Bernice said, "Don't light a match. Don't light anything. And get out of the house and get away from it until it gets aired out." And he shut the gas off and tagged it off. And I found it and fixed it, but that house had been there since like 1929, so no telling how long that gas line had been in there, Jerry.
Yeah, look, thankfully our water heater's outside in the garage, it's not inside the house, so we could cut the gas off and hook up the garage and let it air out while they were fooling with it, but that's nothing to deal with. And the funny thing Tom, is we got these skunks that come through the yard here about every other night, seems like, and you can always smell them. They about wake me up when they come through. Like two or three of them. And that's the first thing I said. They dig them skunks have been out here. And when I said, "You put one get in the garage?" I said, "Yeah, it's a water heater, I think." But, because that's what that smell is like. And, because he did the carbon monoxide check and everything else too, and everything came out good. But they were really, I have to admit that Fort Hill was, they were really responsive to the problem, with the gas leak. They didn't hesitate at all. The guy was there, within 30 minutes of when I called, he was there. So, that's kind of hard to visit. They said, "Don't do anything, leave the house inside." I said, "It's not inside the house, but I'll open up the garage door, make sure it gets out." I'm glad they got it fixed, but it was kind of interesting. That guy worked on it. This guy's been putting in water heaters for years, and he couldn't figure out what it was. They thought it was a bad regulator valve there in the front, and that wasn't what it was. Just something internally to the water heater, I guess. But they replaced it. He didn't want to do it, but I knew they paid him for it. He might have whined a little bit, but they got his money.
Well, when they put in this propane back here for the Generac, I noticed them guys doing something out there about midway to the house. And I went over there and I said, "Well, this doesn't look like it's quite deep enough." "Oh, yeah, it's fine." And they went ahead and finished up the job. And I didn't want to correct them, And so anyways, one day, a couple of years later, I was out there and I had one of them little hand tools like you dig up a flower with or something, and I knew I was near that line, so I was being real, real careful. And I don't know what I was digging up, down the line or something, had a long root on it, and I went right down beside that copper tubing that they ran to the house, and that tool can't be over 6 inches long, and they're supposed to bury that at least 12 inches deep. But I didn't want to call them back a couple of years later and tell them they goofed. But what it was, there was a tree root there, and they had a trencher. But I guess they didn't want to take the time to cut that root out, so they just went over the top of it, Jerry.
Poor DJC. The cable company comes through, and they use one of those little small trenchers that puts it about and maybe 8 inches or a foot underground for the cable stuff. And then when Duke came in, they had an excavator, and they dug it 30 inches deep, and they dug a trench about 6 or 7 inches wide and 30 inches deep or more. And they didn't mess with that. It's plenty deep out there, and I'm sure the gas line is probably about that deep too, since it's been, so many years ago, and Fort Hill had to have done the work. But I don't know what kind of pipe it is, some type of, you know, either iron or black pipe or something. It's not any synthetic stuff, I'm sure. And it may not even be copper. It may be just that black iron or whatever that's been used for years. But I didn't, you know, he never noticed anything leaking out there. He ran down from where the gas was, you know, where it ran up from the thing, couldn't find anything at all. When they were digging out the house, of course, I made sure they had everything marked so it wouldn't hit anything when they were building the house over here. But you can't be too careful with that gas. You use the wrong thing, then you'd be kablooey.
Bernice, your oven's going off.
That bugs me about that. I put in a 16-kilowatt Generac for my brother-in-law out on the farm back in Kansas, but Bernice and me and Betty and George dug the trench, and I'll guarantee you it was deep enough. But, yeah, you're right. The line voltage coming in here has got to be down there about 36 inches or so deep. And anytime that anything's done around here, I'll call DigRite and have them come out and mark it, you know. And the cable guy, he did that one time, had them mark it. But those guys should have known better than that. There's no reason for anybody to be digging out there in the area that that, you know, is. But if they did, it's on the regulated side of the propane tank, but it's still wouldn't be very desirable to cut into it, you know. But I never did call them back and report it up there, but, you know, I still get my gas from the same place, but very seldom, because that generator only runs 6 minutes once a week on Wednesday morning. But now you're right about the copper and the prices on it. When I was an electrician at that one plant for 32 years, you always pull your wire longer than what you need because you can't ever stretch it, as the saying goes. And I'd cut it off and I'd just throw it on the concrete there in the machine shop. I think it was gone before it hit the floor. Them machinists would watch me, and man, they'd get that copper. That big Italian guy that I worked with, he called it Jew gold. And I said, why? He says, well, the Jewish people were really frugal and watched their money carefully, like us Italians. And he said, that's why I call it that. And I said, well, it's gold, all right. And back then, oh, gosh, I don't know, it was 20, 30 cents a pound or something like that. But, boy, if you dropped a piece of wire, it was gone before you could turn around.
They had the aluminum cans, too. Yes, it's a different world now. Everything got so much more expensive. And it looks like it's just going to keep going up. The only problem with it is once it goes up, time just never comes back down again. About the only thing it does is fuel prices. You know, when the demand, and when the oil prices go down, it goes back down. Everything else just continues to stay the same because you know they're going to charge us the Once they got us,
they got us paid $5
something, they ain't gonna sell it to us for four.
When we moved down here, like I said, it's been about the year 2010, I guess. We looked at a lot of repossessed houses. They were darn nice houses. And several of them that we walked up to, they stole the condensers. The air conditioners to get the copper. They had stolen the, they'd knock holes in the wall and rip out the sheetrock to get at the copper in the walls. And it wasn't worth that much back then. I can't imagine what copper is per pound now. I have no idea. But I've never ever sold any of it. And I sold a few pieces of steel in that when I left Kansas because I built my own wood stoves for the house and for the garage, and I built a log splitter, and most anything I needed I built, and so I had a little bit to get rid of, and it wasn't worth very much money at all, but pay $160 for a box of Romex now. That's just, I mean, no wonder these houses are what they are, Jerry. Well, Jerry, I better let you go. Bernice is making barbecue ribs and all the trimmings and some kind of raspberry mousse and corn on the cob and baked beans and deviled eggs and potato salad. I guess I gotta eat it. It's tough, but somebody's gotta take care of it, Jerry. Take care, Jerry. Nice talking to you today. N4DJC and 0GR73, Jerry.